Eat that.
Yeah. Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
It's good.
Und gut für you.
Real for fun forever, and you're listening to Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour, the most unique radio show of its kind, and every Tuesday. Follow us online and archived on our website, gayradioshow.com. Lots of links, lots of everything up there. Gay Radio, everything you need is on gayradioshow.com. If you miss a show, gayradioshow.com. If you want exclusive stuff, gayradioshow.com. If you want links to our Instagram, to our Facebook, well, it's all easy. You have to look up as gayradioshow.com. There's links to our YouTube, too. Follow us on Twitter.
Twitter?
at Gay Radio Show.
Drinking water.
Follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.
At Gay Radio Show. And with the free TuneIn Radio app, if you download the app TuneIn Radio and you search WPRK, you can listen to the radio show anytime you want to. And I'm your host, DJ Justice. This is episode number 360, second show of the year 2016. Cast and crew here today. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well, doing swell.
Alex, the friend turn, is here. Eric, the actor, is on his way. Our other friend, our biggest... I consider him kind of the first fan. Like, if there was a fan club for the show, he'd be the president of it. He's definitely been always very supportive. He's been a friend to me, especially when I was going through chemo. John is here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
In his Robin regalia. He's a big fan of The Boy Wonder, and he brought us pizza. It was really good. It was delicious. Thank you very much. Thank you for the pizza, John.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
And so I thought we'd have John sitting with us. And normally when John comes, it's like a full cast and crew. I have to, you know, make him sit in the couch. He can't really do much. But, you know, he actually gets his own microphone today.
Yes, but the cushions are very lovely.
Yeah, thank you. I had to sit on a cushion because my chair was missing. I'm a little OCD. I like one thing with the headphones. I like my chair being a certain height. My chair was not in here. So I had to bring each chair behind the counter to make sure it was high enough so I can see the board, look at the microphone, work on my computer, see my notes, and I had to end up taking the cushion off the couch and sitting on it. So I got to give myself a high chair.
And you also get to give yourself pink eye later because you took one of the sofa cushions.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's how you get pink eye. I guarantee you there have been some bare butt farts on that thing. we are intro the show with a little bit of a cappella. Freddie Mercury and David Bowie. Rest in peace, David Bowie. He's an amazing musician. I'm one of those people where I'm usually a fan more of songs specifically than of an artist. Like I think it's been a very long time before I've been all about a particular artist. I don't get into Lady Gaga the way that like Mr. Miss Adrian does, but I like her songs, certain songs.
Right.
I like certain bands and certain albums, but as far as like who an artist is at their core and what they bring, there's no denying that he had an impact, David Bowie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a fan of David Bowie, certain David Bowie songs, but other than that, I guess maybe I need to look into a little bit more of you know, that his kind of gender fluidity,
yeah,
you know, had a bigger impact. Are you a big fan, or do you know much about him?
Well, actually, okay, here's the thing. I agree a lot with like what you're saying about how, you know, you can be invested in a person's music, some music, but not totally be invested in the person as a whole.
Yeah,
and that has been my relationship with David Bowie as well, because you know, there are some tracks that were a hit and miss with me for David Bowie, but if you ask me what my favorite song of the 80s was, it was Let's Dance.
Let's dance.
Yeah, that's my favorite song of the 80s. But I also appreciate David Bowie on that, kind of like on the way that me and Mr. Miss Adrian would appreciate Lady Gaga, that this is a person who transcended past music into film and into their character outside of music, outside of, you know, TV, and that's how I could appreciate David Bowie.
My main David Bowie memory, and I remember this very clearly, because I stole this joke from Brandon, but I remember this very clearly, when my little brother found out he was going to have twins, I made sure that I asked if I could borrow one of the twins because I wanted to recreate the scene from The Labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
the movie where David Bowie's, you know, like the Goblin King.
Yeah.
And I wanted to borrow baby A. That's the first twin born. When you have twins, there's twin A and there's twin B. The first twin is always going to be twin A. So I wanted to borrow twin A and recreate the scene from The Labyrinth and go, Goblin King, Goblin King, take this baby away from me. And my little brother goes, no, you can't borrow the babies. And I go, how else am I going to meet David Bowie, Jonathan? How else am I supposed to meet David Bowie?
And now you're just going to meet him in heaven.
You know, when you wait too long, you don't get to do, you don't get to make your dreams come true. I could have met David Bowie. I could have, because legend goes is when you hold up any child infant, and say, Goblin King, take this baby away from me, David Bowie appears,
right.
And he says, hey, what's up? Thanks for watching my movie. That's so chill of you. That's my favorite line, too. What's up, man? Hey!
Aren't you Justice from the radio show?
Aren't you David Bowie from Labyrinth? Well, you were saying something before we went on the air. You were saying whenever the new year starts, you like to always guess on who the first celebrity is that's going to kick it. It's gonna knock off and kick the bucket for the year.
Yeah, it's inevitable. You know, every year a big, huge celebrity is going to unfortunately pass away. But, you know, and I thought it, like, I had, okay, so when I found out that David Bowie died, I was literally just getting back from the club. I was really just, like, you know, I guess.
Was this before or after your night got bad, the one you were telling me about?
Oh, no, it was, like, it's, like, what made my horrible night even worse.
Oh, yeah, when you're having a bad night and then you hear news, it doesn't really make the night better. You know, like, you can kind of handle it when that's all you're dealing with, but when it's, like, other crap's going wrong, it's like, nah.
I crawled into bed, and the first status I see was from a friend, and it was, like, rest in peace, David Bowie, you were a legend. And I'm like, nah, it has to be one of those fake stories where the celebrity fake died just as usual. But no, I, like, it was the... You know, you have to check for validity. If a famous person dies, it's going to be the top trending thing on Facebook. So that's exactly where I went, and lo and behold.
I did one worse. There's nothing worse than not knowing a celebrity dies, and then you start making a smart-ass comment on Facebook because you're not aware yet. So I was just checking Facebook, hadn't read news yet, and saw that Rob Ward had posted his cover photo as, you know, one of those artistic pictures of David Bowie that says, "We can be heroes." Not knowing that David Bowie has passed away, I leave the smart-ass comment from Moulin Rouge that I said, "But just for one day." Because, you know, and that song, "We could be heroes, but just for one day."
Yeah.
And that's part of the song, I guess, too. But anyway, so I just make that comment, and Rob's reply is just like a frowny face. And I'm like, "Well, what's a frowny face for?" And I was like, "You know, that's from the Moulin Rouge, right?" He's like, "Yeah." And so I'm just making like a clever little DJ Justice joke and then read the headline. So I immediately go and delete the comment, apologize. And I'm like, "Dude, I am so sorry. I did not." We have a problem with the freaking, hold on, I'm going to play this back, actually. Oh, I can't record and play at the same time. Okay, there's this thing that happens where the radio show has to be recorded on this podcast mic because I don't trust the technology here to record what we're doing. So when I'm recording on the separate podcast mic, it's lagging again. It might be volume. Because sometimes it hears too... So if someone's like... Like if I were to yell really loud, it might overmodulate and say, "Hey, wait, what's going on?" Because it doesn't know how to handle the overmodulation in the podcast mic.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you missed it, I have no idea when it stopped. If you're listening to what we're talking about how celebrities die in three. Lemmy from Radiohead, Natalie Cole, we think.
Allegedly.
If she's still alive, we apologize profusely. At first, I was going to say Gladys Knight, but then I realized Gladys Knight's still alive selling delicious pies at Walmart.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Ever since her sweet potato pie went viral on Walmart, she's, you know, expanded to like a buttery pound cake with a vanilla icing. So, you know, so Gladys Knight is doing very well. Did you see the video? I never saw the video that made it go viral. How did it go?
It was a very sassy African-American man, and he was just soulfully singing about sweet potato pie. I don't even remember how the jingle went, but it's like, "Sweet potato pie." And man, did she sell some sweet potato pies after that?
Evidently, it sold out before Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, you could pre-order your sweet potato pie from Walmart, of all places.
Yeah.
So that's good. Let's jump into the three things to learn this week. Three things that Justice learned this
week. The three things he learned this week. Not one, or two, or four, or five. It's the three things he learned this week. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we'll open up. Maybe we should do this once a year to add to, you know, our audio library. At one point, we opened up and had a song competition where you could record your own version of the three things that Justice learned this week's song. And it could be played here on the radio. Now, it's got to be short. You can't, like, add, like, other lyrics and turn it into some, like, five-minute song. It's got to be short and sweet. But we've had submissions from Canada. We've had submissions come in French.
I did.
There's been an opera version. You did a version of it?
Yeah. With auto-tunes. So it sounds like a chipmunk.
I don't remember if it was very good or not, because I don't think I have it saved.
It wasn't.
Okay.
I can't sing.
Well, okay, you know what? Let's throw that out there. If you would like for your song to be played, your cover version of the three things, that doesn't mean we're going to not make fun of it, just letting you know. If it's not good, I'll probably play it once, and then delete it. But, you know, so if you want to do that, it's very simple. The lyrics are as follows. Get a pen. The three things that Justice learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four or five. It's the three things he learned this week. Yeah.
Little do you know, I've actually arranged for Guns N' Roses to cover it on the Coachella performance.
What the weird things and weird.
At Coachella, at their Coachella debut.
Coachella. Anyway, so the first thing I learned this week, you know what? I would be remiss in my duties if I wasn't talking about what's happening, what is gripping the nation, what affects all of us. We are one human family. Gay, straight, lesbian, bi, black, white, rich, poor. Everyone has got an equal shot at the $1.5 billion Powerball Lotto, and I'm all ate up with it. I'm all ate up with the Lotto, dude. Like I filled out 3 full tickets today with my little pen. I'm looking at my numbers. I'm double checking. I'm gonna go today. I'm gonna drop the 45, 50. I'm gonna drop the $45 on the 3 tickets, and then get 2 more quick pick just for good measure. I've been buying one at every place. I've seen people buying the Lotto. I'm ate up with it, and. You're shaking your head. You're not gonna buy a ticket?
No. Lottery is not a millennial thing. Like, it's not. It's something older people do. They think they have a shot. They have a shot at whatever.
Oh, I know I don't have a shot.
Even though it really is just like the government saying, hey, this could be a way to legally gamble if you want to. And I'm not a gambler, so.
I know that. Did you buy a ticket?
I like scratch-offs. I don't really go for picking the numbers.
How are you not going to take a chance and do a quick pick? If it's going to be random, just do a $3 quick pick, and your return investment could be $1.5 billion before taxes.
I'll get half if my partner wins.
I just, you know what? And I hear a lot of people say this, and it is rings true to form. A lot of times it's not that, I don't expect that I'm going to win. The odds are so, out of there. But it is thrilling. And it has been thrilling that since this past Saturday, Thursday when I bought my tickets for last week's that, rolled over. It is thrilling to have that sense of optimism. What would you do with it? How would you help the people in your life? What would, so if you won $1.5 billion, first off, how would you pick your numbers? If you had to, would you do the quick pick or would you pick random numbers? Because I did a combo of both.
Okay, I mean, when you have balls coming out of a machine randomly, it's not like me picking my own. There's no strategy to playing the lottery. It is completely random. So it would be a quick pick.
Luck. Like I had one. Okay, I had one ticket where it is the birth dates of all of my family members, and then I did one ticket. So I said, if I'm gonna balance it with life, I gotta balance it with death. On one, I put the date of death of 5 different family members. I did lucky numbers. I closed my eyes one time, and I just poked my hand at the card.
Yeah.
So you have a system.
I went to my DVR and looked up my favorite television shows. And, HD channels have got 4 numbers. So I went and looked up, a couple of my favorite shows, split the HD channel it was on. So if it aired on, channel 13, 25, I picked 13 and 25.
Yeah.
And I think I've got this on lock, Alex. I think I'm a shoo-in.
Yeah, you're
next week,
the counting cards
in next
the
week, you'll be listening to, maybe you will be, next week, you could be listening to billionaire DJ Justice.
I think my goal in life is to if I won the lottery, it'd be yes, I can't wait to quit work on Monday. But I would definitely go into hiding.
This isn't work for me, though.
This is fun.
Yeah. If you won the lottery, would you show up for the radio show next Tuesday?
Yeah. I still gotta wait for it. It's still gonna take a while before I even get the money.
Yeah,
so
Eric,
with a new car.
With a new car, yes. Ugh.
Yeah. So did you buy your quick pick, your lotto ticket?
No, I'm doing that today.
You're doing it today?
I'm doing a whole
How did you pick
it.
Your numbers?
Well, last time I just, I threw into a pot that we did at work.
Oh, that's the worst idea ever.
I know.
That's the worst idea ever.
That's what we did.
Those are lawsuits.
The lottery is ridiculous, guys. I don't know why you're investing
no,
in such a matter.
No, it's not an investment. If you think about it, what could I spend $50 on this week? I could spend $50 on a lot of things, practical things, bills. I could invest that $50. I could spend that $50 on alcohol. I asked a friend on Facebook, hey, he said, should I spend my last $50 on drugs or should I spend it on lotto tickets? And it's pretty equally split because, think about it. With the drug, you get the high, but it's gone anyway versus invest it and take a shot on the lotto. I will say this. I have enjoyed the unending sense of optimism that I think we should have year-round, even when it's not $1.5 billion, to think about, hey, this is what I could do. This is what I could give my family. And not only that, I'm kind of sick and twisted. I'm also thinking about how I could, crush my enemies. I was like, oh, if I had $1.5 billion, I'm going to go find my worst enemy and give all of his friends, a brand new car, but not him. And then I'm going to send him a check for $1,000 with a note. And it's going to be a check, because he doesn't want to reply to my text message anymore. So I'm trying to be all smart about it. But it's going to be a check. And he has to endorse it. And I'll know when he endorses it. And with that check will be a note that says, this is $1,000. your friendship and your value in my life were worth far more than that to me, and you would have been set for life. But now, you mean nothing to me. This $1,000 is all you will ever, ever get from me. And that's, and I've got $1.5 billion!
And that's the power of Powerball.
Yeah. Was that like one of the initial things you thought about? What am I gonna do with this money?
It was like the third or fourth.
How am I gonna be shady with this money?
Mm. No, I thought about practical good reason. Okay, if I won the $1.5 billion, this is, and I told my mom this too, I would be wise about it. I would obviously want to take care of my family, but what I would probably do—I know my brothers don't listen, so this is a mood issue. I would go to my parents first, and I would drop some papers with them. I would let my parents claim the reward. I would want my parents to get it, because at that point with $1.5 billion, I don't care if you know, if you could divide it up equally between each member of the family and I'd be fine. But I want that to be a gift from my parents and not from me, because in this life, my brothers, their lives will outlast my parents. I don't want to have that over them. I don't want them to know. I don't want them to feel like they owe me anything. So I would want it to be an equal dividing, you know. I'd want my nephews to be taken care of for life. I would make a provision. I would make my parents make a provision that says, hey, we have to get this money. You now that we have the ability to do whatever we want to financially, the family gets together at least once a month, whether we travel or meet or go on an adventure. So I want my family to be together, to grow closer than ever before, you know, because we're all across the country.
You're a real Oprah over there.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking about, like, who I'd give money to. Well, dude, I'd give you money. I'd want to make sure you were comfortable. I'd give Eric money. I'd give John and his partner money. I would give money to the radio station. I'd invest a whole lot more in the radio show for the crap that I don't want to do. I'd be like, let me get someone to sit here and record the podcast.
You have the money to make the show however you want it.
Right,
you
know? Right. You want to fine me, FCC? You want? Yeah, I can't say that. Damn. On the air. Here you go.
Here you go. I feel like I'm gonna say 100 curse words this week. I'll just throw this at you just in case.
Right. Like, let me just go ahead and pay you $20,000 and just let me say what I want to
in
on
advance,
the air.
Yeah.
I would look and feel exactly the way I wanted to. I would hire like the greatest gourmet, healthy chef, coach, body coach to literally just follow me around and just like smack bad things out of my hand. And if I'm like, hey, I'm hungry for pizza, he's like, he knows how to make like gluten-free, wheat germ, like fancy organic, but it tastes just like pizza, you know? Lose the weight, body coaching. And if that doesn't work, we'll just go like massive plastic surgery. I would become such a overexposed P&P boy. Like, I was about to say,
can I come to like your massive like rent boy
mansion party? Orgy, mansion party. Yeah.
Mansion party.
Playboy mansion up for sale.
I'm not. That's a gross, grody place. I'm not going to the Playboy mansion. The Playboy mansion has fallen into disrepair. It is for sale, but the one provision with buying the Playboy mansion is that the condition precedent is that you have to buy it, and that what's his name?
Hugh Hefner
gets to keep living until there he dilly dies. So you could buy it, but you can't kick Hugh Hefner out. So you're just sitting around doing your thing.
You have to wait till this old man just drops dead.
I mean,
in your
home. We could be roomies, to be honest.
He's gonna live forever.
I'm sure he knows a thing or two. Imagine like a day with Hugh Hefner sitting in his lovely backyard and garden.
I have really no interest in talking to Hugh Hefner.
I'm sure he has a lot of interesting things to say.
I imagine that whole house just has like a nice like glaze over everything. There's just like this gloss.
It smells like old man
everywhere. Yes.
And cheap hooker.
Yeah.
Cheap
hooker. So you really are not gonna buy. See, now I feel like I need to give you $3.
No, because you know what? That betters your chances. If he doesn't want to play, don't let him play.
You know, Alex, you're not going to play a lot. I'm a shoo-in for now.
Because when he buys that ticket that could have been yours and he wins, you're going to be kicking yourself
in
the A later.
I guess. I'm a broke college kid. Like, $3, like, that's like, I'm going to Mexico this weekend. I need as many U.S.
That's half a pack of ramen right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. I'm saving my pesos.
Alex is going to Mexico. Alex... Eric, describe what Alex is wearing. This is a new outfit he bought for going to Mexico. He's going to a music festival. Speaking of music festivals, if you want to find my Grindr profile, I added one thing to my Grindr profile. It says, if anyone asks, we met at a music festival.
EDC question mark?
I've never been to a music festival. Yeah. I've always wanted to go. It's this white...
Get on the mic.
It's a white, fluffy polar bear with this, like, crocheted sleeve.
It's a long sleeve sweater. You're going to be warm, Alex.
I mean, these are two separate sweaters.
Oh, are you just going to wear the vest?
Yeah.
You're just gonna wear the polar bear.
You're gonna look great. Who cares if it's hot? It's
he's cold. Been he's been like you're petting himself all day.
Yeah, like Daniel Tosh would say, high fashion.
I'm so yeah.
I'm sure with you at a music festival, high fashion is you know the literal you know the yeah. most minimal way to describe
well,
it.
Well, yeah, and
something will be high.
It's gonna be high fashion is gonna be a term of many meanings in Mexico.
Now I got a question though. This is my mother speaking. Why would you get white? Because white is so hard to keep clean. Like, that's going to show every stain, every little whatever that spills on you. If you're going to go, like,
but faux fur. But it's also going to conceal other stains. Wink, wink.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's talking about. Hold on, turn the mic off. What are you talking about?
Are you planning on drinking fruit punch?
What?
No, go ahead.
Planning on sucking dick.
Oh. S&D.
S&D.
You know what? That is good, because if any color other than the one that would be concealed by your jacket shows up, then you know you have an immediate problem.
Right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, it's red, it's green.
Oh, what? Oh god!
And some red. Parallel universe, something blue got on me.
Playing around with some Smurfs there at this festival.
Yeah, right. Okay, second thing I learned this week. This is one of those things that I wanted to talk about because I thought it was fun and it happened to me, but then I realized that when it's something that probably has been around for a long time, I always hate being that guy that's like, oh my god, after the fact Johnny, like everyone else. I guarantee, I'm making a prediction here. Out of everyone in the room, I would bet that Alex is the one that's going to be like, oh, hey, I've been doing that for years. I can't believe you're just starting that now. I've been doing that since I was 12. So I went up to Fort White this weekend. I was visiting a friend who lives in the middle of the forest, in the middle of nowhere. Wi-Fi sucks. And, you know, caught up with him, had a good time. You sleep really well in the middle of the forest, you know, when the stars are clear. You go night kayaking, playing with the dog, having a good time. And then the other thing we did, which I had never done before, I already got the app on my phone. We went geocaching.
I've done that. You've done that? Orlando. It's fun.
John, have you done geocaching?
No, but I just don't think the payoff is worth it. But I love watching people do it.
Alex, have you done geocaching?
I mean, I knew what it was. I have not partaken as of yet.
Look, see, he can't...
But he knew what it was when.
I know but look, what it
the
was.
Way he said it, he's still saying it as if he's too good to do it. You're like, oh, I know what it is, but I mean, would I ever do it? No.
Pretty much.
You are so pompous. You are so, so presumptuous.
With your fluffy chest
Out Loud Orlando, the resident pretentious.
There you go.
Anyway, so for those of you who don't know, geocaching is an app that sets up, it can be your city, it can be anywhere. I found three geocache locations in the middle of nowhere, up near like Fort White, you know, just northwest of Gainesville. And what it is, it's a GPS sponsored, like, you know, it's a scavenger hunt based on GPS coordinates that gives you like an idea and like a riddle and a hint and a clue, and you literally just kind of go and you scavenger hunt. So the very first one we did actually was at a cemetery in the middle of the woods, this like unnamed in the middle of the forest cemetery with like maybe 20 graves total. Just like literally like you're driving down a dirt road and there's trailers and whatever, and just out of nowhere on this one little turn is what?
Nothing. It's just like, who goes like treasure hunting in a graveyard,
right?
That's
like
just
what is
creepy.
The prize,
it's
like a
find
possession?
The dead body, find the dead body, go find the dead body, find the right dead body,
the clue,
you win a prize.
The clue was, well, you had to go find a specific tombstone first, and then like from there you went and you found the rest
Poor
of the little cache.
Find my dead uncle in the third row from the back. And then go
kick
and
over the gravestone, and underneath you'll find.
You
a
can get the ring on his skeleton hand.
90s. Yeah,
you can pawn it.
It turns into a Goonies adventure.
Dig her up and take her gold teeth.
That would be so cool.
The part of the country we were in, this was more of like. I don't reckon there were many gold teeth, if any teeth at all. But no, so geocaching, and then so what you find is either just the log that says, hey, you found it, you cracked the code, you sign it, you date it, you can, you know, register online, you can keep track of all your things. Sometimes it's just a little, you know, it's little knickknacks, you know, it's a little jar or a little bottle or a little cachet case of little things, little just worthless little trinkets, and if you have one, you can leave one and you can take one. And so I had a lot of fun doing it, like, for me with my attention span, and then to get back to home to Orlando and see how many there are, like, there's a whole series, so, like, from where we live downtown, or I live downtown, there's a whole series of, like, follow these in order and do, like, all 12 of them to get, like, the maximum prize, and I'm just thinking, you know what, there is no excuse to be bored. This is, like, a low impact. You can, you know, whatever before you want to, you can have a fun while we're out near this place and we find the new restaurant, you know, check that out. Sometimes different restaurants and businesses, you know, they want to be a part of the whole thing. So they kind of, you know, sponsor whatever Geocache is like at their place of business. And it was, you know, I had a really good time. And I think I'm going to try it out more. I think we should do it sometimes.
I did it once with my roommate in our old neighborhood we lived at. It was so much fun. We just got to wander around our neighborhood, see like places we hadn't been to. And then when we got to it, it was like a little film canister thing you just that you found. And then you just signed your name, like you said, and you leave it. And
yeah, yeah,
a fun
yeah.
little thing to do.
Well, I like it because, you know, I get bored very easily. Mm-hmm. I get bored very easily. I also
like I was on Survivor looking for the immunity.
It's like going on Survivor for
the Amazing Race.
Why are you setting the crust on your
right,
glass?
Right, like,
I don't know.
Don't be
I don't know. I felt bad putting it
Hi, I'm DJ Justice. And when I'm bored, I like to go geocaching. I am the official spokesman of geocaching.
I think that
No, he's
it,
the official spokesman of prep.
Oh, yeah, go take your... I took my Truvada today.
At the end of the geocaching, you get a free bottle of prep.
Of Truvada.
Oh, my God, that would be so good for you.
Of Truvada.
I'm trying to mix the two. I just like you have to go on the scavenger hunt for Truvada.
Well, you know what? That brings up an interesting question. If you leave, like, one little tingle pill of Truvada in your prep, you know, like, who's the lucky winner? Because people find it's scattered out. You have a log of one. So the last person that found the one on the gravesite was back in, like, October of 2015. But I asked the question because, you know, whenever I start some new endeavor, I ask all the logical questions. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? You know, could this be a way that, like, drug dealers exchange money and drugs? Like, they say, like, yo, I left your stash right here and you got to go find it. But what if somebody else finds it first? You know, what can you leave? What's legal? What's illegal? You know? And then I got thinking, I feel like this could either be, like, a great reality show or some kind of challenge, or it could be the premise for a novel. Has there been any kind of novel or murder mystery about the geocache killer who, like, goes and murders people and leaves the clues in geocache, or he kills people trying to do it, and it's this whole like step-by-step process. So the rogue detective has to go and like crack the geocache codes. It's like Jigsaw meets a scavenger hunt.
I like it. Sounds like a really good Law and Order SVU episode,
right?
Like a good premise.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Mariska Hargitay's got to solve all the geocaching.
At the end of the road, there lied Bill Cosby.
Yeah, very oh, nice. God.
With a nice little martini. Oh, hello there. You won a prize.
Drink this martini. Yeah, yeah. A crayon apple in it.
Well, it has to be something small. Like, it has to be something, it's usually very small, the caches. Mm. Wait, what were you talking about?
Bill Cosby
at the end.
prize crayon apple martini.
It was you ended up doing Bill Cosby's geocache. You won a prize. Come over here. You get a little drink.
Very nice. Good job. How's Hanky been? A lot of positive feedback. If you want to hear last week's show where we went through in depth and talked about the Hanky code based on the new gay exclusive dating app Hanky. A lot of people really enjoy. Are you familiar with the Hanky code, John?
Very, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
What do you know about the Hanky code?
What color are you asking about?
He knows.
Left is top, right is bottom.
Okay.
What color you're talking about depends on what you're looking for.
Now, in your experiences, in your lifetime, when and where would the Hanky code be applicable? Like, would pre-grinder, would you just see folks wearing a hanky at a club? Or is it more discreet than that? Like, you know, it could be just a random encounter. If you see a hanky at, like, the Walmart, you know, you could, you know, say hello to a chap.
Yes. See them at the Walmart. You see them at Walmart. Well, actually, it used to be you could see them at clubs anywhere around because that was like the secret code language for everybody.
Walmart?
No, not Walmart. Okay. Anywhere.
So the hanky
Kmart
code.
Kmart back in the day.
And where would you... I asked the question. I want to do some research. Where would you buy your specific hanky? Because some of these got like a gold lame, a leopard print with a red strip. Like, is there like a one-stop shop for the gay hanky buyer? Or do you have to like buy white ones and dye them yourselves? Or like, where do you buy these hankies? Or... Do you have to limit?
Store.
Or do you have to limit?
Hankies are us.
Joanne's Fabric, the hanky section.
There you go.
Or do you have to limit your sexual preferences and activities to whatever color hanky? If I'm like, well, all I could find was a blue, so I guess I'm going to do this.
That's all I'm doing for the next month and a half till they come out with another shipment.
I got to stick with the white hanky until it gets dirty enough that I can qualify for beige.
White's clergy.
Yeah, right. The other one, you know, you had hanky.
Wow, naughty.
You had hanky. Atomic, my roommate, was telling me about Surge. Surge is a, he was telling me at dinner last night, Surge is a new, like the soda, Surge is a new gay dating app that's just like Tinder where you have to just swipe right and swipe left and you only chat with someone if you like their photo and they like your photo. So yeah. It's pretty obvious.
That's exactly Tinder, though. I thought.
Tinder. yeah, but this is more like the gay version of that. Because, you know, Grindr tried to start the gay version of Tinder or Blender, and that didn't really go anywhere.
No, Grindr came before Tinder. Yeah, yeah, Grindr was first, and then Grindr straight people were like, oh, well, we gotta have one too.
The straight people took it from us. We were robbed.
Right.
One day in like 100 years, we're gonna look back at the guy that invented Grindr and like and hail him as some great inventor, you know? It's gonna be amazing.
Joel Simkai.
There you go. Well, you know what? I have a story about Joel Simkai and Grindr itself. Are you a fan of the Chinese?
Yeah, okay. Obviously.
Are you Dingbo or Dingbo?
Dingbo to Dingbo, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, you know what? Because Grindr's turning Chinese, y'all.
What? $5.
Grindr sold a majority stake to a Chinese gaming company called Beijing Kunlun Worldwide Tech for $93 million, which values the app Grindr at $248 million based on nearly the $40 million it brought in 2015. So Joel Simkai announced in a blog saying, "We hope you enjoy the app and are delighted by the new features and services we have planned this year." So they're just talking about from a business point of view. You know, this is like everyone's trying to replicate. That Grindr is just, you know, Grindr is the Facebook of the gay dating apps. You know, everyone either has it or they have had it or they've experimented on it or they've gotten or they know what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like the go-to. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's Hanky, there's Scruff, there's whatever.
There's Scruff, there's Hornet, Distinct, Man Jam, FetLife, Boy Ahoy, Growler, Plunger, Firecrotch. Ginger Ahoy.
Now, what does Lindsay Lohan have to do with any of this?
when you want to talk to like 20, like the thing is with Grindr is that's where you're gonna have the biggest selection because the most people have Grindrs. So I mean, with Hanky, and it's like kind of like the growing pain, if you will, is that there's still not a lot of people using it. So I'm still waiting. So there is considerably a lot more people today than there was last week when we were talking about it, I guess.
Well, that's what happens when we talk about things on the radio show, Alex. Things happen. This is the number one gay radio show in the state of Florida. This is the number one gay radio show and podcast in the Southeast United States. You know, we have an impact.
Life happens. Things happen.
We were number one through all of 2000. Thank you very much. We were number one through all of 2015. We were number one on the station. We were number one for the talk shows, the flagship talk show. So
he's practically Tom Brady over
like
here.
Like, we're good. We're who are we? We're the number one gay radio show for transgender food cart vendors to listen to at the Parliament House.
Heck yeah.
You're really the Kanye of the gays.
No.
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 Gosh, no.
No.
He has a much better fashion line.
Well, yeah, Grindr boasts nearly 2 million users. The nation. Oh, here's why it comes up as being slightly, you know, interesting. So it was bought by a Chinese gaming tech, you know, mogul. And when you look at the involvement of the Chinese firm, you're also looking at the nation of China fails to recognize same-sex marriage. And the gay community, for the most part, is still considered very taboo. Homosexuality is very taboo in China. But that didn't stop this entity from becoming the proud owner of the
porn is?
Huh?
But tentacle porn is.
Shut up. The article says that didn't stop a Chinese entity from becoming the proud owner of the largest collection of sexually explicit messages and images on the planet. So congratulations. The Chinese now are able to look at everything you are saying and posting, and they're going to start regulating.
Really?
They're going to. Unless you measure the same size as us, you cannot brag no more.
Okay. I don't know what we're going to talk about because we don't talk about stereotypes in this show because that gets people
not.
In trouble.
Never.
I'm taking the news today. I'm taking the news because just there wasn't very good news. So let me play my one like little newsy ditty here. Oh, it's great. It's really uplifting news. Oh, wait. I turned it down. Just to remember, even though there may be 2 million of us on Grindr, keep in mind that in certain parts of the world, you can still be murdered for being gay.
Yikes.
At least 25 men have been murdered by ISIS for being homosexual. The men have been shot in the head, thrown from rooftops, stoned to death, and one 15-year-old boy was raped by a senior ISIS officer before his death. ISIS militants have become adept at using social media accounts like Grindr and other profiles to hunt down and harm men who are suspected of being gay. Now, the men, so they'll throw someone off the rooftop, and if they don't die, the crowds that have assembled below in the nation of Syria, they then proceed to stone the person to death. So it's almost kind of being done with approval, like they're at a parade or something. You know, so in response to this, human rights activists are calling on different countries to address the plight of gay men in Syria, while as well confronting the refugee crisis.
I mean, doesn't that already say sketchy enough, though, when you're using, like, Grindr in any sort of Middle Eastern nation, like, literally the most homophobic region of the earth? Like, there's no way I'm getting on Grindr if I'm, like, in, like, Dubai or something. Like, it's just it's too risky.
Yeah, exactly.
It's you don't even risky. Have to be gay. They're saying a lot of times these murders will take place on the suspicion or the speculation of being gay, or kind of like the Salem witch trials. He's a witch! He's gay! He takes it up the butt! You know, all of a sudden they go after him. You know, and I won't lie if I say it hasn't impacted, you know, my life in some way. You know, there is somewhat of a fear when you are do anything that is related to entertainment. You know, if someone really wanted to dig in, they could find out very quickly, you know, where I am and that I do a gay radio show. I mean, it's not that big of a secret. You know, so certain countries I will not be visiting. That's good. I got a whole rest of the world I can go to without being fearful.
Exactly. There's a whole part of the world that you are not wanted in, and you are happy to not go there.
Or, yeah. I mean, I would love to visit the Middle East one day, but I'm just not going to, you know, venture sexually either in these countries. I could just go to appreciate it culturally. I mean, it's kind of like the same fear to go to Russia. I'm not trying to be jailed for being gay either. I just, you know, want to see some Russian stuff.
Right. Yeah. Dudes.
I just want to see the Kremlin.
Yeah.
That was German eating a pastry is what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to go to Russia and see the Kremlin. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is good. You have an iPhone, don't you? You have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Do me a favor really quick. I was just told, someone messaged me and said, right now, whatever you're doing, ask Siri to beatbox for you.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Do it. What is it? I don't know. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't do it.
Siri, beatbox for me. Come on. It's the reception.
Reception. Is this going to be failed?
I think it's going to be because of the...
Is this going to be a fail? Do you have an iPhone?
T-Mobile.
Why are you on T-Mobile? Didn't they just lose a bunch of awards?
I mean...
Didn't they say every other network other than T-Mobile is better?
That's that commercial for Verizon.
It's like Marble Works.
With the balls, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to. Not till we go outside. Sorry, radio.
Damn it, Alex.
Damn you, Siri.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on. Come on. Say it.
Oh, come on, dude.
Say it.
Come on. What are you doing?
Fox, Siri. Come on. Come on.
This is compelling radio.
As we wait for Siri to beatbox.
I don't think it's going to happen. But, like, yeah, this was the history. But I don't think it's going to say it again. I don't think it's going to
You know what? Sometimes I wish our listeners in Canada wouldn't post crap that just makes my dreams shatter as we're on the air. Evidently, there already is a book that he found on Amazon called The Geocache Killer. Here's the synopsis. Two geocachers find a box by accident that can only be an unregistered cache. Cachet. It looks normal, and they open it. Inside it is a pickled finger, a real finger. The police officers in charge of the subsequent investigation are both myth. Anyways, there's already been a novel, so my idea is ruined. Something's already been done before. There's nothing original anymore.
But there's no movie.
There is no movie at all. So thanks for your phone not working.
Yeah.
Thanks, Siri.
Thanks for continuing to be about a disappointment.
And for the uplifting story.
Right. Other news stories I pulled this week, you know, have you heard about the same-sex storyline that could be a part of Star Wars The Force Awakens? Have you seen that yet?
No. I mean, I've never seen any Star Wars movie totally completely through, to be honest.
I want to see it so bad.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. We've been waiting to watch the whole other movies before. But I'm going to try to go tonight, maybe, if I can make that happen.
Well, evidently, I can't really talk about this. Like, there's two characters that fanboys are going, hey, wait a minute, is that a bromance, or is it a little bit more than a bromance? Ooh. And so people are all, like, getting all giddy, because, hey, cause could there possibly be, like, a gay love story in the Star Wars, you know, fantasy universe? Well, one of the actors basically said, you know what, if you have any romance or same-sex gay love in your mind in regards to Star Wars, it's only in your head because it's not part of canon. It's not part of, you know, the Star Wars history at all.
Boo George Lucas!
I don't think you'd say it's not part of the history. You don't... Many things can happen in the universe. Force goes many ways.
Some people think that Chewie and Han Solo are gay.
That's just called bestiality.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that is.
Very nice. Good job.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, are you not a supporter of intergalactic love?
One love.
Hush. One Wookiee family. I'm okay. Starting, you know, I said if I win $1 billion, I'm going to have, you know, a trainer just whip me into shape. Because, you know, what I have to deal with is the reality of this. Last year, I had cancer. You lose a lot of weight on cancer. You lose a lot of weight doing chemo. When you cure cancer, that's a good thing. When you start putting the weight back on, and then you're going, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be heavier than I was before I had cancer. I must do something to stop this. So I'm going to start boot camp next week. Yeah. I'm going to be doing like a workout boot camp regime. Did I ever tell you about how I used to work out with the Marines at my old place? No. There was like six Marines that lived in my old apartment complex, and you know I got a thing for jarheads. Did I ever tell you about how I used to work out with them?
Yeah, no.
We used to...
Sounds hot and homoerotic.
The workout used to consist of getting a shovel and a pickaxe and digging holes in the forest that was right across from where my apartment complex was. That was fine until the apartment complex management called the police, and the police were like, why are you digging holes? They thought we were digging graves or something like that. And then we also used to do, for stamina and endurance, they used to duct tape me. Like from
ooh,
like
I
from
like this.
They used to duct tape me, and they would throw me into the deep end of the pool, and you had to like wiggle
tread
and,
water.
You had to like tread water enough while your hands were like taped to your side, and it was called "Don't Drown" the workout, and it was very very fulfilling.
It's a workout. It's
don't drown.
Don't drown.
What's that?
Throw you into a lake.
I think there's a hanky color for that. Light blue.
That's a real one.
No. Maybe.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I like water torture in bed.
Waterbed torture?
I've never...
Waterbeds are torture.
I used to have a waterbed, but that was before I'd come into my own. And,
I don't think that would be fun.
I don't know. I'd really worry about too much resistance, like, popping it. I really think you do have the ability to probably pop a waterbed.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not?
I guess.
I never
depends
had
on
one,
what the material's made out of.
Depends on who you're with.
And
wink,
who,
wink.
Yeah.
I had another idea. This show is going to be called I Had an Idea. I had another idea. When I had to Uber recently this week, and I had a guy that was, to me, obviously gay. So it was just very quickly, you know, having fun with him, talking, just chit-chatting, promoting the radio show. And then he mentioned that he was a sister. Are you familiar with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Yeah. Have you never seen them?
Explain.
The Orlando Sisters.
Of indulgence, where they have the white faces and the like, what is it like the Shakespeare?
It's like big old fat guys with beards that want to do drag, but they're not going to be pretty drag queens, so they dress up like crazy nuns. So they paint their face white, so it's kind of like mime, kind of clown, kind of nun. They got crazy names. They do a lot of money for charity. They raise a lot of money for charity. Yeah, like bears. You've never seen
great.
The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Nice.
They'll just walk around the club, and if they think you're going to get something, like slip a condom in your pocket. You know, so
and they've been to like Pride and everything.
Yeah.
Don't they have their own float or everything?
They do a lot of good work. Anyway, so I got thinking, you know, I really wish that you had picked me up in when you're in drag as a Sister of Perpetual Indulgence. It's called You're in Habit. So I said, you should have picked me up in Habit. It got me thinking, you know what? We need to find a couple of drag queens or gay people that wouldn't mind being put into drag and do a shift on Uber in drag. There's nothing that says you can't not be in drag when you do Uber. I think you either have stories to tell. If we could, you know, get the consent form filled out and videotape, you know, how would you get into drag? Would someone get into an Uber car with a drag queen driving or nah?
I mean, I certainly would. That'd be quite a ride. That'd be quite a ride.
Definitely.
Yeah, I posted this on Facebook.
Be a high roof because of all that hair too.
Yeah, it has to be a convertible or with a sunroof.
Third thing I learned this week has to do with when I get bored. Sometimes I'll steal ideas from either other YouTube videos or from BuzzFeed articles or things like that. Posted a question on Facebook today. I'll post it to you or pose it to you guys as well. See what you guys think. While I read you some of the things that our listeners online said, if you could go back in time, what would you tell your closeted self? I know I wrote down a couple things. So what would you tell your closeted self? A lot of people said nothing. A lot of people said it's too much drama. Some people said your family already knows. Some people said, hey, don't be afraid to think about being in the middle of an all-guy boom, snap, clapping while you're in the locker room.
Hey,
I thought that was a very good answer.
Someone said, what would you tell your closeted self? Don't push that homophobe down the flight of stairs. Evidently, someone acted out in some way.
Oh, my.
This was serious. One of the biggest things I needed to hear was that they are happy, healthy, successful, homosexual people, despite what conservative voices may say. I had the idea that I was condemned to be a diseased, miserable my whole life unless I fixed myself. this guy would tell his closeted self, there's a whole lot of D outside the closet, so run, Forrest, run. come out as soon as you graduate high school. Your family will support you.
That's what I did.
Yeah. One guy says, be yourself and go after straight boys as much as possible. Anyway, so
what would you tell yourself?
I thought about what I would tell myself, but then again, I have a different, you know, I had a much more closeted, you know, pray the gay away indoctrination, you know, situation to deal with. So you seem like you're bored with today's show. Like you just checked out about 20 minutes ago. Are you still in this?
Yeah.
That was a very confident answer. A very confident response.
I have no other.
I'm sorry. Is this boring? Is this boring and cliche? I'm sorry. I had to go to like the secondary topics because you know.
Yeah, no, I've actually been waiting for this question like all show long.
Oh my gosh.
I wanted to comment, but I'm like, no. I mean, I'm on the radio show, so it'd be counterintuitive for me to post what you were inevitably going to ask me later. So
is it that obvious? Do you guys just know what I'm going to talk about based on what I put on Facebook on a Tuesday?
Pretty much.
I mean, you did say it was the radio question of the day, so I assume
and it didn't even have to be the day of,
at least be one topic.
It could be the day before. You could literally have posted something, and then the next day be like, oh, did you hear that? And I'm like, well, yeah, because you talked about it yesterday on Facebook, so... It's that friend helplessly listening as
Justin
his friend tells him a story he's already heard.
Justin Jones just said, this is what I would tell my closeted self. The preacher is wrong. You're not going to hell. Hashtag listening now. I was like, all right, cool. I would listen to more gay radio show. You know what? I thought about that. This is what I would tell myself. I came up with one, two, three. I came up with four. Okay. I came up with four things. Would you like to hear the four things that I would tell my closeted self?
The four things that he would tell himself.
When he was in the closet.
Yeah, right. Maybe the first one requires a little bit of explanation. I would not change my past because if I had not been closeted, I would not have focused and done college and law school the way that I did as quickly as I did. And now I look at my life and I'm so glad that, you know, by the age of 22, 23, I had everything else done that I wanted to achieve. And it was literally just, now you can find yourself. Now you can have as much fun as possible because you can have the career you want and be validated. You know, so there were no distractions. Right. So, I would tell myself, number one, focus on what you're doing first and foremost, but don't hate yourself. Don't think you don't have value and overcompensate because of that. Right. That's what I did. I did a lot of that. I did a lot of that overcompensating. The second thing, I'll tell you the second one, then I want to hear what yours was. The other one was don't avoid getting close to people because they're afraid that you'll find out their secret. You know, I don't have friends. I don't have hardly any friends or callbacks from, you know, high school, college, maybe one or two people from law school, because the idea of close friendships was terrifying to me, because when you get close to someone, then you can become vulnerable or feel comfortable. And the fear of them finding out made me specifically do things to push people away. I did not want to have close friends that knew me very well and knew all my secrets because I was trying to protect those secrets. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, yeah, is life different now? Most definitely. But what I tell myself, you know, keep your secrets, focus on what you have to focus on, but don't be afraid to, you know, and so I guess what I'm saying is your close friends, I'm sorry, people that could become your close friends aren't going to care as much. So why are you going to push them away, you know, out of the fear?
I'd have to tell myself, because the thing is that I really like the way I didn't come out of the closet until after high school. So, and the reason being is because, you know, in school, like, I lived a pretty comfortable social life, knowing that it would all just go down the drain had I come out of the closet.
You really think that would have been the case?
Oh, absolutely, it would have been the case. I saw so many times, like, gay kids getting picked on, and that was, like, that put the fear of God in me, and I'm like, it's not the time for that, because then you're gonna end up being one of those, you're gonna lose this social standing. It was artificial, of course, but, you know, when you're
even in, like, your hipster, I go to concerts because I'm 16 world.
Well, also, I mean, like, my closest friends already knew, like, I told them, and so when I got out of high school, it was, like, a situation, like, you know, all of the people who are closest to me already know, so therefore, now I can come out, and if people don't like it, that's okay, because all of the people that are closest to me, they already know. But what I would tell myself, though, is that when I did come out of the closet, which was through a Facebook post, that was the first time that my dad had heard that I was, like, that was me coming out of the closet to my dad as well, and he was really upset by it. He was, like, very upset by it. He was extremely supportive, but he's like, well, I wish you would have told me before, You know, I would have liked to have known before Joe Schmo on Facebook, but me and Joe Schmo...
I'm friends with him, too.
A lot of people are friends with this Joe Schmo guy. He's
got what are you going to tell Tom from MySpace, huh?
So, yeah, I guess I would have... And also, I would have told, like, you know, for all of the... all of the relationships that I could have been in, but for some reason I pushed those people away, like, to not push those people away, because those could have been people who would have made me happy in the future, but...
Right.
Too late.
Aw. Yeah. Oh, this is not at all, you know, a conversation to spawn regrets, or, you know, none of this coulda, shoulda, woulda, but I think that it is, it's a little bit of that self-inventory that I've been, you know, really delving into in my own life over the last year, of looking at where you are now versus where you came from. You know, how can you be happy with your situation and not ever have fear or regret from your past, which I do not. I do not at all. Do I wish I had been a little bit stronger? Yeah. But am I glad with where I am now? And do I realize that all things have to happen for a reason? You know, did I have to go through things the way that I went through them to be who I am today? Most definitely. You know, mm-hmm. I need to be the person now that I needed when I was younger. Which is evidently a quote I stole from somebody else and put on Facebook, but I saw it in some other random thing. So I'm sorry, everyone steals everything, right? The Twitter's like the wild, wild west. You don't know where crap's coming from. What would you tell your closeted self?
I would tell my closeted self not to be scared, not to be ashamed, and to just...
Keep doing drama.
Keep up with theater. Be passionate. Be proud of who you are. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be scared. Because I was always very shy and very nervous and very,
right. Or like when you take your clothes off, you know, like, don't be scared. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. And we understand that it's, like,
you know,
a medical abnormality.
Not everybody knows that. It's from the out, from a different outside perspective. You don't get to see what's hidden underneath all of this. So, it's a mystery.
I love when he does,
it's a,
like,
shroud of mystery.
I love when he does, like, drama hands on the air, like, knowing that no one but us can see it.
Just me.
John, what would you tell, were you ever closeted? How long were you closeted?
It seems like everybody else knew, and I just wouldn't admit it. And that's what I tell myself. Just admit it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, just admit it. Everyone else knows. Everyone calls you this. Everyone calls you that. Everyone picks on you. Just admit it. And that's just what I tell myself.
Mm-hmm. I would tell my closeted self two more things. I would tell my closeted self, even though it ends badly, go ahead and fall in love with Nick, because you'll need that to move forward in your life.
Was that number one?
What?
That was your first boyfriend, right? The one that you were in a relationship with for years with.
The ex-fiance. You know, like, first boyfriend... Lost the V card too. We came out to our parents together, accepted I was gay together, you know, first boyfriend, first time in love with another human being, you know. And so, you know, that's definitely one of those hindsight ones where you go, you know, even though you're closeted and worried about what that means, do it. Like, fall in love with this person, because it's going to change everything for the better, even though that person is, you know, not a part of your life in any way anymore. And then, you know, from like a spiritual connotation, I would tell my closeted self, yes, God still loves you. Yes, your family will still love you. And to not use religion and faith in a negative way.
Right.
Because my shield as a closeted person, you know, for many years was, if I am so self-righteous and judgmental, if I am like the evangelical judgmental Christians, and I am that way to everybody else, you know, in the hopes that as long as I point out everyone else's flaws in the name of religion, no one will notice my flaws. Like, that was my protective veil to say, oh, you'll never know I'm gay because I'm so outwardly religious and condemning. You know, and I know the phrase always goes, those that are the most judgmental often have the most to hide. Yeah. You know, thou doth protest too much. And that was totally, completely my situation. So I don't really know how to end that topic. It got kind of heavy there at the end.
A little bit.
God loves you.
Outro.
Everybody
music.
Loves you.
Cue outro music.
When in doubt, play the outro music. This was a choppy show. I'm not sure what happened. John, you threw up our energy today, man. What was that all about?
How did I throw
it's the
it
pizza.
Off?
The pizza hit us, and it just kind of like gave us that.
I have a law class after this.
Yeah. Have fun with it. You gotta watch that word there, bro. That's the second time you said that today. Huh? You said S happens.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Playback. Fall I don't
back.
Believe
I
don't, you.
I dumped it. I can't play it back.
I have a law class after this.
We'll talk about that. Oh, other things I wanted to point out. We didn't really do any official news, but you know Honey Boo Boo, her mother June, who is half human thumb. Evidently Honey Boo Boo is saying that her husband Mike Sugar Bear may have been cheating on her with other men. Bum bum bum.
I got that vibe the first episode I saw that show. That's one of those guys who has the blank profile on want to come over and play. Yeah, he's one of those.
He doesn't have his bottom row of teeth. He's very popular in the gay community.
He goes, what was that, farmerslonely.com or something. I know my boyfriend showed me this commercial. It was like, you don't have to be lonely at farmerslonely.com. So it's like just this app.
That's because
like
making whitepeoplemeet.com would be too mean.
Just exactly. Don't get it. It's
city folk just don't get it.
No, that's true. That's the tagline. I love it.
City folk just don't get
we
it.
We don't. We just don't get them farmer folk.
Outlet Orlando, the Homo happy hour. City folk just don't get it. Hey, John, Alex, Eric, thank you very much for coming in today. We'll stay in touch. Everyone can get a hold of you. I'll link everything on our Facebook page and our Twitter at Gay Radio Show. That's it for today's special edition of Outlet Orlando, the Humble Happy Hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, always swing first, fight good fights, and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
Hey, I don't know what to say.
I'm Justice, and I love you.
God loves you. Just admit it to yourself.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in this.
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 Fabulous.
We here in Outlet Orlando give that 1, 2, 3.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was wonderful. The gayest arms I've ever seen to express that. Now I'm very, very legal.
Jeez.
It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour,
why?
Raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over
you,
it.
You
it's
cannot,
such a good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pigs. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior Princess Xena style.
It's,
So Outlet Orlando, ruining lives all across America.
On a daily basis.
Got any poppers?
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha-ha.
I'm dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour.
Of course.